Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
All right, I'm so glad to be back and grateful for the men that came and filled the pulpit over the past month or so, and I trust that you were well-fed. I'm thankful for the privilege to be back with you. As we always do, let's get our Bibles open right away, and we're going to get our Bibles open to Psalm chapter 34. And if you don't have a Bible, you can put up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to put a copy of God's Word into your hand. And if you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We'd love you to take it home and read it and have your life transformed and changed by the Word of God. Psalm chapter 34, and over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be unpacking the entire Psalm. Since we began this church, we've been heading to the Psalms around this time of the year, as we get ready to launch into a new ministry year. And this year we are in Psalm 34 today, unpacking verses 1 to 3. Let me read the first three verses, and then with God's help, we're going to unpack it. And by God's grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be helped and changed and strengthened by the words of Psalm 34. David says this in verse 1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad." Verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Well, it was John Piper who wrote this. He wrote, "Try to imagine the Bible without the Psalms. What a different book it would be. What a different place the church would be. The Psalms don't just awaken the affections of the heart. They put the expression of those affections in the foreground. They don't just invite the emotion of the heart in response to revealed truth. They put the emotion on display. They aren't just commanding. They are contagious." And what we're going for today, as we have a Psalm of David in front of us, is that the affections and the expression that is put in the foreground becomes contagious for our church. And over the next 3 weeks, what we have from this hymn book of Israel, from the Psalms, is, I want you to know, real affection, real expression, and real emotion in response to the reality of what God is actively doing in the life and the circumstances of the psalmist. And so what Psalm 34 does for us specifically is it gives us today a window into David's heart. And it gives us a model of how to live in the midst of real danger and in the midst of real deliverance. So what do we find immediately when we look into the window of David's heart here in Psalm 34? Well, in verses 1 to 3, we find an invitation to praise, an invitation to worship. We find a passionate summons to worship, to make much of God. We find a call to a singular vision of God's glory. And I don't know about you, but I need this invitation. I don't know where you have been or where you are today, but I need this summons from Scripture. I need this contagious affection brimming in the heart of David to come into my heart and to fill my heart with God's grace. We have an invitation to praise. And so throughout this message from verses 1-3, I want to show you three marks of this invitation to praise. And I pray that you would receive the invitation, not just for our gatherings, but for your life and for the circumstances you find yourself in today, that you would hear the invitation, that you would receive the invitation, that you would respond to the invitation. So let's start with this on the screen, an invitation to praise. How? First point is this, continually. We have an invitation to praise and worship continually. I want you to notice in verse 1, David says, I will bless the Lord. Let's stop right here for a moment. Very important for us to see something right away. As we look into the window of David's heart, we see an emphatic statement of resolve. He's not wishy-washy about this. And we see also a decisive statement of intent. Don't miss it in verse 1. David says, I will bless the Lord. This is what I'm going to do. No circumstance will stop me. No hardship is going to stop me. I've been illuminated. My perspective has been changed. I will bless the Lord. Now, what makes this emphatic and decisive statement of intent so powerful and instructive for our souls today is the context in which it is found. We're going to talk about the context in which the psalm is found in a moment because it's really important. You see, if you win $1 million and you shout, I will bless the Lord, so what? Or if you've just received the promotion of your dreams and you exclaim, I will bless the Lord, so what? Or if you've just gotten a perfect grade on the most important exam of your academic career and announced, I will bless the Lord, so what? That's not that we shouldn't bless the Lord when good things happen. We absolutely should. But what makes David's determination to praise the Lord so powerful here in Psalm 34 is the context in which it appears, namely that the context is a difficult, hard, dangerous, life-threatening circumstance for David, and it doesn't naturally lend itself to God-word, God-centered, God-honoring praise. The situation David is in instead lends itself naturally to an inward, self-centered, and self-pitying response. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I'm there too many days. Well, something difficult is happening in my life. Listen, I'm the preacher. I study God's word in preparation to preach God's word. And there are just too many days in this preacher's life where the situation I'm in is determining whether I praise God or whether I look inward in self-pity. It's just the reality that our flesh lends itself to. That's the situation David's in. And maybe it's the situation you're in today. A hard situation, a difficult circumstance, a hard few weeks, a hard few months, a hard few years, and the disposition of your heart is not, I will bless the Lord at all times, but maybe you're looking inward. It's a self-centered posture. It's a self-focused posture. David has learned a powerful lesson. David has learned that his worship of God can never be contingent upon his circumstances, but must be firmly based on God's character. And so it's important for us to understand the direct context. David writes this psalm right in the middle of life-threatening danger and right off the heels of an amazing deliverance. The direct context of this psalm is, in fact, 1 Samuel chapter 21. In fact, you'll see at the top of Psalm 34 in your Bible, look at it. you'll see an introduction that links the psalm to a specific instance in David's life. This is helpful. This type of thing happens, by the way, 14 times throughout the book of Psalms. Not always very helpful for us, but in this particular instance, it is very helpful. In my Bible, it says, of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. That's the context in which David says, I will bless the Lord. So what happened in 1 Samuel 21? Well, David found out that King Saul wanted to kill him. That's back in 1 Samuel 19. And so he was on the run. Just consider that for a moment. You hear the news that someone wants to kill you, and you're all of a sudden a fugitive. That's David's situation. So David flees to a land called Gath. It's the land of the Philistines, of all places, where he previously killed Goliath. You remember that story. 1 Samuel 21 tells us that in verse 10. When he gets there, he seeks refuge with Achish, also called Abimelech, a title for the king of Gath. He was the king of the Philistines. Gath was the land of the Philistines. We see that as well in 1 Samuel 21:10. To David's misfortune, the king's servants recognize him and basically say, isn't this King David who has killed his thousands in battle? Now, David went there seeking refuge. He went there thinking that he can find some help. But all of a sudden, the servants of the king of Gath see him, recognize him, and they think to themselves, probably this guy could be a valuable hostage for us. Or this guy's probably a threat to us. Maybe we should take him captive, or maybe we should even kill him. Now, when David realized that they recognized him, the Bible says that he took those words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Why? Because he was worried that they'd perceived him to be a threat. He wasn't there then to find refuge anymore. Now he's trying to figure out how to get out of Gath, because they've recognized him as a mighty king. So what does he do? This is a remarkable instance in the life of David. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 21:12 to 13, he was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Notice this. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands, and made marks on the doors of the gates, and let his spittle run down his beard. Some scholars say that this was a very low and sad episode in David's life, that he resorted to acting like a madman, finding anything he can do to be released from the grip of the king of Gath. Other scholars think that this is David being astute, that he's being clever, that he's doing something with the help of God to get him out of a difficult situation. I'm not really sure why David is doing this. I'm not really sure why he acts like an insane madman, allowing spit to come down his beard. But I know this, his tactic worked. The king of Gath released him, saying in 1 Samuel 21:15, do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? The Bible says he released David and drove him out. Now, 1 Samuel 22 goes on to tell us that David fled from there to a cave, the cave of Adullam, and about 400 of his own people came to where he was, relieved, delivered, safe, and met by 400 of his own people, David sang Psalm 34 in a cave. Crazy situation. Crazy turn of events. What does he say in the cave? Verse 1 of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What is he saying? He's saying, when I'm running away from the most powerful political leader in the land who has every resource at his disposal to find me, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. He's saying, when I'm caught by real enemies who have real reason to hold me captive or even kill me, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He's saying, when I realize that I'm safe in a cave and met by my friends, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, David has learned with a fresh perspective in the midst of a hard situation. David has learned that his life is ultimately in the sovereign hand of God. And David is flooded with the perspective that God has delivered him. So he resolves, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. Now, there's some situations in life where we don't want to bless the Lord. That word bless carries the idea of speaking a good word of someone. And sometimes we're in hard scenarios or confusing or perplexing scenarios. I know I talked with a lot of you. Some of you are there today. Or you look around the world, you look around at the cultural landscape or the political landscape, or you see fires raging in Hawaii, and you don't know what to make of it. Even in our own land, and you don't necessarily feel like speaking a good word of God. You think, why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this? Isn't that where our heart goes? When are you going to intervene? And David has learned that God is an intervening God, that everything is in his hands. And here he has a taste and he has a flavor of deliverance. He's not free completely of all his troubles. Saul is still looking for him. But he's learned that his life is in God's hands. And so he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And David says, I want to make sure of this, that his praise is continually in my mouth. We have an invitation to praise. Now, it's amazing how much is actually in our mouths that is not praise, right? Isn't it amazing? If you would just do this exercise daily, or I pray many times a day, step back for a moment. Have a time of prayer before the Lord. Search me, O God, know my heart. Lord, what has been in my mouth today? It's amazing how much is in our mouths that is not praise. Gossiping, complaining, cursing, inappropriate joking, cynicism, slander, unprofitable, unfruitful words. What's been in your mouth? What circumstance are you in that has brought out something that is not praise? Well, David says, I have learned that God is worthy at all times to be blessed, to be spoken well of, to be made much of, to kneel down before. Here's the question, loved ones. Is there any circumstance that you're in that doesn't call for continual praise? If you're honest with yourself, the answer will be, of course not. Because here in Psalm 34, we have a glimpse of God delivering David from the king of Gath, but you and I, in the new covenant, children of God, We've experienced an ultimate deliverance, haven't we? No circumstance can change the fact that you and I who have come to Jesus Christ by faith and with repentance and received salvation, you and I have been delivered from the greatest foe, the greatest enemy. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what hard thing you're facing, no matter how your circumstance goes tomorrow in the office, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He has shown me his deliverance. The cross bears witness that he is a deliverer. I am safe. I am eternally safe because I'm a child of God. And therefore, there is no circumstance you face. There is no moment you face in your life that is not a fitting moment for praise. How much more when we have these concentrated times of praise? We're going to get there in verse 3. So maybe our problem, loved ones, is that we've been duped and distracted by the cares of the culture. We've lost this perspective. And we've lost this power. The power that comes from knowing that every moment is a fitting moment to bless the Lord. So could you stop right here for a moment and would you ask the Lord, as I will even right now in my heart, as I've been doing, Lord, forgive me because I have had moments in my life this week where I have chosen some other things to fly out of my mouth and it hasn't been praise. But you deserve it, Lord, forgive me. You deserve it continually at all times. Make us a people who are so in tune, in step with your spirit. Make us a people whose theology leads to powerful doxology. Make us a people who are not filled with just head knowledge, but what we learn in truth fuels praise and worship in our lives. Let us be that people who walk so closely with you that we can say with David at all times, I will bless the Lord in every situation. Your praise is going to always be in my mouth. Wow, what a powerful church we would be. What a powerful Christian you would be. What a powerful husband and wife you would be. What a powerful family you would be, representing God on your street or in your apartment or wherever you live. What power there would be if we would be people who say with conviction, I will. The enemy's in hot pursuit of me. Doesn't matter. I will. The world looks like it's going down a dark path. Doesn't matter. I will. My wife, my husband doesn't understand me. This is looking dark. I will. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Last thing I'll say about this is a beautiful, beautiful song that we sing sometimes, and it reminds me of truths like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the world. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? The things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Psalm 34 gives us an invitation to praise continually. Secondly, Psalm 34 gives us an invitation to praise. You can make a note of this. Confidently. Confidently, I want you to notice verse 2. David says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. This is so simple, and yet I'm praying for you, loved ones, that we are so very challenged by this. In the dark cave of Adullam, David understands with clarity that his deliverance wasn't ultimately the result of him cleverly acting like a madman. You know, he could be heading to that cave and he could take a deep breath and say, wow, I'm so glad I thought of that. I'm so glad that came to my mind. Wow, I was so good. I was so good. The way I let that spit come down my beard, I didn't think I could do that. Wow, I was so good. The way I went to the door and just started making crazy marks on the doorposts like a crazy person. Wow, I'm so good. See, David could have done that. And by the way, that's what we do. We do that a lot. We make much of ourselves. But no, David says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. David recognizes that he is safe in a cave with 400 of his friends because of the Lord. Therefore, his confidence cannot be in himself. His boast cannot be in himself. His bragging cannot be in himself. It is in the Lord. Now, why is this so challenging for us? Well, it's like the hymn writer says, we're prone to wander. The hymn writer says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. You ever feel how much you wander? Maybe today. You're saying, man, I'm hearing this very simple truth, but just think for a moment. Is your boast in the Lord? Or is it in something else? Are you confident in him or in someone else or in something else? How much time do we actually spend boasting in ourselves? Well, if you do some self-examination, if you're like me, you'll probably find that we spend a ton of time boasting in ourselves. When we perform well at work, wow, that's me, that's me. When we perform well in our ministry and someone comes to thank you for your ministry, you say, oh no, it's all God, but in your heart, you're like, that was good, that was good. Or when your marriage is going well. You know, I've talked with a lot of people who their marriages are not going well. That has a way of humbling people. I've talked with people too whose marriages are going well, and there's almost a sense, I don't know their heart, but there's almost a sense like, we got this. And when I hear things like that, it's almost like, you might need some hardship to help you get a little more humble. What would it look like if we all responded to David's invitation to bless the Lord at all times, to have his praise continually in our mouths? How different would life be for you and me and this church and this community? How different would our families be? How different would our gatherings be if we all were resolved in every area of our lives to make our boast only in the Lord? And you look at the good things happening in your life and you know deep down in your heart, this is the Lord's doing. If you've experienced some deliverance of some kind, some help of some kind, and you know deep down in your heart, this is God's work. This is what David is doing. Surrounded by 400 of his friends, he's saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. I'm praying that our church would be a church that doesn't boast in programs or some impression of fruitfulness or anything like that. But our boast, our confidence, our bragging is in the Lord. Oh, what a powerful church we would be. Psalm 34 extends to us an invitation to praise continually, confidently. One more thing. Psalm 34 extends to us an invitation to praise corporately. Corporately. Notice the second part of verse 2 and going into verse 3. This is powerful and practical. David says, "My soul makes its boast in the Lord." Here it is. "Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." I should read that differently. One thing I learned about preaching, you have to preach the tone of the text, and you have to read the tone of the text, so it's not like I just read it. It's more like this. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Are you awake? "Oh, 400 people are around him. Oh, magnify the, do you understand how awesome he is? Do you understand how awesome, do you understand what he just did? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." He's not standing up there as the worship leader like, "You guys just watch how good I am." He's not doing that. He's, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Now there's something so powerful here. I want you to notice that David calls the people around him, God's people, he calls them the humble. "Let the humble hear and be glad." It's as if he's saying that humility is the true mark of God's people. And when he makes his boast in the Lord in the presence of God's humble people, they hear it and they are made glad. It's beautiful. Why? Why do the humble hear David boasting in the Lord and find gladness fill their hearts? Why? Because this is what the truly humble are all about. This is powerful. I'm getting ready to close here, but don't miss this. This is what the truly humble delight in. They delight in the worship of God. The humble delight in making much of God. The humble delight in not making much of themselves, but making much of God. The humble want to rely completely on God, not themselves. The humble want to see God at work, not their own man-centered efforts at work. This is what gives the humble joy. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, how I'm praying for a church where we boast in the Lord together. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. I'll tell you what God has done. And we rejoice and our souls are glad because we're people of humility. That's the prayer for this church. That's the prayer for our community here. That's the prayer for our corporate gatherings of worship. That we would come, make our boast in the Lord, and that all who are humble will hear it and be glad. People who hear the preacher making much of God, they're glad. People who hear the musicians making much of God, they're glad. People who go out there in the lobby or out in that cool breeze out there in front of the school and you hear other people making much of God, you're glad. Why? This is what the humble do. This is what the humble want. They want to make much of God. And that's what we desire in this church, to make much of God. Loved ones, this is our desire, that what fuels our joy and our gladness, and especially as we approach an upcoming ministry year, is seeing one another boasting in the Lord. David goes on in verse 3 with a shout, I believe. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Let us exalt his name together. This is the cry. When you leave this place today, I want you to remember this. When you go to your small group this week, I want you to remember this as we get ready to resume churchwide prayer meetings. I want you to remember this when we get ready to come back here to continue in Psalm 34 next week. I want you to hear this invitation from Scripture. It is an invitation to praise corporately. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And this is what we need. And so as I close, we all need this invitation. We need to respond to this invitation, and we need to extend this invitation. We can respond to this invitation and extend this invitation by sharing of God and his deliverance in our lives frequently. What has God done for you? What is God doing in you? What is God teaching you today? What lessons are you learning in the furnace? Sometimes we have a triumphalistic approach to Scripture. We think, well, I'm not delivered. I'm still in financial hardship, or my marriage is still struggling. But you can boast in the Lord, because he, even in the trouble, is doing something. What are you learning? Are you paying attention? Are you looking? Is the Word of God open every day? Are you seeking God in prayer? Instead of looking inward in your hardship, let's look up and at God's Word, and you will have much to boast in. Not yourself, but the Lord. You know what my dream is? You just boast. Boast in the Lord. You don't run out of here after the service. You find the person next to him. Start boasting in the Lord. Start bragging about him. Together, let's do this. He's worthy. He's good. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. The world does not need a cold, rigid, rote church. The world needs a church set ablaze by their understanding of this gospel. The world needs a church that is set ablaze with passion and boasting and bragging in the Lord. The world needs to look and see that we don't boast in ourselves. We have nothing to boast in, but we have a great God to boast in. And they look and they see and they follow. Amen. That's how we're going to reach the community. Not by going there with just meals. Not by going there with just doing nice things. By them seeing that we have an awesome God. It's his work to do. Salvation for this community, it's his work to do. Personal sanctification in your life, it's his work to do. And he is doing it. Are you awake? Can you see it? Are you boasting in it? Oh, loved ones, I pray that as we leave from this place, we're challenged. Eyes up. Eyes off of ourselves onto a great God. And when you look around the church and you see your friends in this place who are down and discouraged and who want to neglect the gathering and who aren't coming to church anymore and who aren't going to the prayer meeting anymore and who've bailed out on their small group, who are not serving anymore, who are just kind of rolling in, then grab them and smile at them and love them and embrace them and boast in the Lord and encourage them to do the same. God is working in your life. Don't bail out. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's the invitation to praise. And this is my pastoral invitation to you. Please, loved ones, magnify the Lord with me. As we approach September and a new ministry year, we are dreaming big dreams to a God who can do big things. Come, magnify the Lord with me. We're asking God to strengthen our small group ministry in this next ministry year for growth and sanctification and community in the lives of people in this church. Come, magnify the Lord with me. Come on, come on. We're asking God to strengthen our outreach into this community. Come on, come on, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I can hardly tell you the dreams that are filling my heart as I set my gaze on him. If I started to share my dreams with you, you'd think I'm a crazy man. But that's okay. Come. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Whatever cave you're in today, whatever power you're fleeing from today, Whatever giant is in hot pursuit of you, just remember, we have an ultimate and supreme deliverance in Jesus Christ. We of all people have reason to shout and praise and exalt because of our beautiful gospel. So come on, come on. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Come on, stand to your feet right now.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.